Today's Gospel speaks to us about how Jesus begins His ministry. It's just after John the Baptist is arrested. And so he leaves the Judean area and he goes up north into the area of Galilee. And he starts proclaiming the Gospel of the Kingdom of God. How the Kingdom of Heaven is at hand. He says, repent, the Kingdom of Heaven is at hand. Now we hear this reference to the kingdom very often. We don't always know what it means. Well, let me tell you, when I was in seminary, I had to memorize what the kingdom of God meant in the preaching of Jesus so that I could write it on one of my tests. And I promised myself I would never forget it. The definition of the kingdom of God in the preaching of Jesus is the hidden yet powerful presence of God's unconditional love in Jesus restoring human wholeness and life. You got it? You guys know what it's like to have to memorize for tests, huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So let me say that again. It's the hidden yet powerful presence of God's unconditional love. You can't always see it. It's hidden. But it's there and it's powerful. His unconditional love in Jesus, restoring human wholeness and life, bringing us back to where we are supposed to be, starting us over, making us whole, and giving us life. This is the kingdom. So often, though, we lose track of this. We lose track of what it means to be living in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. It's not just there, although when we get there, it will be in its fullness. But we have part of it, part of the kingdom, already here, though not yet. Already present, though not in its fullness. That we're supposed to be living out what Christ is doing. And we see this. He's not just proclaiming the kingdom. He's not just saying, hey, be happy. The world's going downhill. But you know what? I'm here, so be happy. No. He's not just proclaiming something and saying, believe it even if you don't see it. He then goes off, and what does he do? He goes and heals people of every illness, it says. He drives out demons. He raises the dead. He makes the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame leap for joy. He does all these things in restoring humanity, making us whole again. So he preaches the kingdom and he brings the kingdom. He touches people. Sometimes people need to hear it and chew on it for them to be open to what God is doing. And sometimes God needs to do something that for them to be open to it and what God is saying. But in either case, He does both. He proclaims the kingdom, and He also brings the kingdom by His actions. And we also are called to be proclaimers of the kingdom. Each one of us, by our baptism, have been made priest, prophet, and king. And we are called as prophets in our baptismal role as prophets, in our call as baptized, whether you're little or whether you're big, whether you're young or whether you're old, we're each called to proclaim the coming of God's kingdom. But a lot of times, the way we seem to do it, not everyone, but some of us, is, I'm right, you're wrong, get with the program. Pope Francis, I'm losing track of who's the Pope now. Pope Francis has kind of said that's not the best way to go about it. He says we need to give people the good news so they can then learn to live as God calls. You know, Jesus does all of that, but he also says repent. It does mean we do have to call people to change. And incidentally, a lot of times we think repentance just means contrition. Contrition means I'm sorry for what I did wrong. Sometimes we're sorry because it means we're going to get punished. Sometimes we're sorry for the right reason because it hurts God. But being sorry is not repentance. Repentance is changing our lives. I'm heading in this direction. Now I'm doing a 180 and I'm heading in this direction. For instance, if your sin happens to be gluttony, and for instance, your gluttony problem happens to be around sweets. Incidentally, when I got here, somebody said to me, Father, I understand you have a sweet tooth. And I says, that's a lie. I have 28 sweet teeth. But if your sin is gluttony that you're having a hard time overcoming, it's not just good enough for us to feel sorry about it. Not just good enough to say, oh, you know, I'm so sad. Look at the weight I'm putting on and all this stuff. Look at that, my teeth are rotting. No, we have to also then change our lives and say no to the cupcake. Say no to the extra cookie. So it means changing. That's what repentance means. It means we have to turn our lives around with the grace of God. So when Jesus calls us to repentance and to the kingdom of God, we have to do both. We have to accept the good news that God is bringing healing in life, but we also need to change our lives. But so often, as I was mentioning before, we get it the wrong way around, where we say, get with the program, change, come on, learn the rules. But it's more than that. We need to hear that good news. We need to hear the good news that God has come among us and is bringing us that healing in life, that His presence may be hidden, but it is powerful in the unconditional love of God. And then when we recognize the goodness of God, when we recognize His love, that will change our lives. That will want us to say, I don't want this sin anymore because it means death. I apologize for those of you who I was pointing to as I said the sin. You know, I wasn't meaning you in particular. I was just kind of pointing in a general direction. Yeah, okay. Sinners over here. Sinners over there. Over there. Sinners here. Oh, they're all around me. But we are called. We are called to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom like Christ and to accept that gospel. You realize, if we understood how much we were loved by God, if we understood what it meant that God loves us unconditionally, we talk about unconditional love, but do we really understand it? If we understood what it meant that God loved us, we would never want to hurt that love. And a lot of times we need to go there first, because people have been yelled at enough. And we don't hear the good news behind why we do certain things if all we do is talk about changing our lives. For instance, this past week, I was down in Washington for the March for Life. I was standing up against abortion in a very peaceful protest. And as I was there, you know, you have all these hundreds of thousands of people, which you won't see on the TV, but there were hundreds of thousands of people that are there saying, we want life. Not just because, you know, you're wrong because you're having an abortion. No. But because we've seen the hurt that it causes mothers and fathers and grandparents and uncles and aunts by having those abortions, not the least of which, of course, is the baby that is hurt. But so often people don't understand that we call out for God's mercy and forgiveness first, because we love the people who've had abortions and are in so much pain. I've seen this personally as people have come to me over and over and over again after abortions and just having such hurt in their souls, that God does want to heal them and bring them life and forgiveness. But so often we can't hear that because of our woundedness, whether it's that sin or any other sin in our lives. We turn in and we say, my sin is too big for God. No. No, God is bigger than everything. He went to the cross to show us how much He loves us. Say, see, I have gone even into your death, and I have conquered your death by my resurrection. And there is nothing that you can do that I will not forgive if you come to me. There is no wound that you endure that I will not heal if you come to my merciful heart. Jesus says to St. Faustina in her diary, we read in 1072, tell aching mankind to snuggle into my heart and I will give them peace. God is calling us to the good news of His healing, the hidden yet powerful presence of God's unconditional love in Jesus, restoring our human wholeness and life. He wants to restore us. And this is the good news of the kingdom. And then, when we have accepted that healing, when we have allowed God to come and to transform us, when we recognize His love and that power which is hidden but so strong of His love which transforms us, then we will say, yes, I love this. And we will say, I do not want to hurt this God who loves me so much. And we turn away from our sin. We turn away from our shame. We ask God to break the addictions in our lives. And we say, God, come, heal, make me whole.